Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. So today we are talking about preconception care, basically how to prepare for healthy pregnancies. And I'm also going to share with you how I personally have been preparing for the second pregnancy. So I'm currently pregnant with twins, and this is a second pregnancy that I've had in the last 2 years. So what are some of the strategies that I've done to really optimize my own health, energy, mental health, fertility, when it comes to creating the next generation of humans? So this is for you if you are just wanting to optimize your fertility, which if you are a woman of childbearing age, being fertile is a sign of health, whether or not you want to have kids. This was especially for you if at some point you're not pregnant right now, but you want to become pregnant in the future. This is a great episode. And also if you've maybe had kids and are thinking of having another kids, how can you prepare for that? I'm going to be sharing with you some snippets here. So this is going to be, as with most of my podcasts, highly actionable and strategic. So I encourage you to, when you finish this podcast episode, to think about implementing one thing. One thing. It can be really small. It can be really simple. It can be almost tiny, 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 but take action on what you hear, okay? Otherwise, I am recording this podcast to you back from my office, from the Kezia Hall headquarters, which is a home office and has been even before coronavirus, which is exciting. I've not been in my office since June because I was sick for months. So any tiny snippets of work I was doing, I was lying down in my bedroom. And then we have sold a house and I'm moving. So I decluttered my office to make it look like a playroom because we already had two offices. Anyway, boring information, but you know, staging your house for selling it is important. And now I put my desk back in and I'm able to sit up without vomiting, and I'm recording a podcast, which is exciting. So those are my big updates. Other updates is I am feeling large. I mean, I think every pregnant person feels large. So that's going to be a bit of a mindset fuddle that I think will be more of an adjustment than it was with Merlin this time around. I didn't really struggle with the idea of getting big with my first pregnancy, but with this pregnancy, I'm pregnant with twins and I'm just much bigger than I am, which is normal for second pregnancies. And with a twin pregnancy, you're just bigger. I mean, there's two humans inside of me. Like, it's just the logistics. Like, and just the way my shape and things are made, I'm just going to be big. So I've been getting nice and big, and I've been training my brain to celebrate that and make that a really good thing and a really exciting thing instead of something to be sad about. But I'm still, you know, I'm still working on that, real life in the moment, dealing with that. So that's a bit of an update. And other than that, I've just been getting ready for the Balanced and Happy Hormones program. So excited. I was just planning out all the modules today, and oh, it's just going to be so good. I know a bunch of you have signed up already. I was editing and just doing the final tweaks on the meal plan and the recipes for it. And some of the recipes, honestly, I made myself really hungry, which is really easy to do these days because I just seem to be like starving all the time. Now that I've kind of gotten over like the awful kind of pregnancy, like sickness, I am now just actually hungry. So what was I looking at? Oh, there was like just porridge, kale and butternut hash. Oh yeah, my goat's cheese quiche. I was thinking that sounded really yummy. What else was there? Anyway, all these recipes in the meal plan, some tempeh beetroot burgers, tons of stuff in there. So if you want to join me, this program is for anyone that wants to create more energy, improve their mood, and balance out their hormones. So if you want more energy, if you need a kickstart in your diet, if you are feel like you're in a bit of a rut that 2020 and lockdown and COVID has kind of just left you in like a sugary alcoholic stupor, this would be a great, gentle, loving reset that's going to help with your energy, but also help with your hormones. If you struggle with any hormonal issues, then this is the best place to come and kickstart them. And I'm going to be doing workshops and giving you all the resources. And the best thing is it's £10, which works out like $13 or something ridiculously cheap like that, which is such a bargainous way to work with me. And it's a live program. I will be showing up every day, asking your question. There's going to be live Q&A and coaching calls, so you can actually get that personalized feedback over the 10 days. So if you haven't signed up yet, this is going to be your last chance to work with me for this kind of cost and affordability of the year. And then I'm not sure when or if I'll do it again, because obviously next year I'm going to be on maternity leave with these twins, and I just don't know what I'm going to do, when I'm going to come back, what I'm going to want to do. I might want to come back really early and do lots of work. I might not want to come back for like a year. So if you wanted to work with me, you need a gentle kick up the butt, you want more energy, you want to feel good, you want to kickstart your well-being and actually end 2020 feeling better than when you started it, despite the world chaos, which I do believe is possible, join me in this program. You have got nothing to lose. There is no excuse, really, for not joining. It is going to be so much fun. It really, really is. So head over to keziahall.com. You'll see the Happy Hormones program in the menu tab. You can go to it via the show notes, or if you're on Instagram, it's in my profile there. But basically, if you head to my website, you will find it really easily. Okay, right. Let's get on with today's show. Let's dive into talking about making babies. Don't know what accent it is, don't ask me. But today I want to look a little bit about essentially one way of framing it is, how do you prepare for healthy pregnancy in terms of the things that you can control? And the other way of looking at this is actually looking at, how do you optimize your hormones and fertility? To be fair, whether or not you want to make a human out of that, all the things I'm going to talk about today are really applicable. Maybe if your hormones are just a little bit out of balance and you're looking to really optimize your health, whether or not you're wanting to make a baby anytime soon. But I'm going to frame this and really ground this episode in looking at, okay, if you do want to make another human being in your womb, how can you best kind of prepare for that and think about that if you have that kind of luxury available to you? And this is really coming from the place of, I am currently pregnant with twins. If you did not know, this is my second pregnancy. I got pregnant at roughly about 18 months after I gave birth to my first son, so relatively close together. And this topic is something I'm really passionate about preconception care is how I frame it. And I really think any work that you can do before you get pregnant and before you have that newborn in terms of your health and hormones and gut health and brain and sleep and nutrient status is always going to stand you in good stead. And it's actually a really amazing investment that really pays off. And I felt that with my son, with having him for the first time. I applied a lot of these principles. I've got another episode on my 5 tips of preconception care, so I'll link to that in the show notes. And I really felt like I actually was surprised at how well I recovered mentally, how well my hormones were, how my body and skin, you know, there was a couple of things that were surprised in terms of birth injuries, but in terms of general recovery and immunity and energy post having a baby, I was actually really surprised. And I do think that was just because I was kind of reaping the benefit of some of the other work I've done. So I'm going to be looking at that a little bit more today, and I'm going to share, weave in bits of how I've prepared for this pregnancy, the second pregnancy, which I will share with you, because I've kind of done these pregnancies relatively close together. And we'll talk about ideal timing actually when it comes to having children, because there's some research and interesting stuff on that. And I'm also just going to share with you some really general things, from really practical nutritional things that you could start doing to some other maybe lifestyle switches that could be really helpful to begin doing if you're in that position where you're able to think, okay, I'm not pregnant now, but I would like to be in the future. I really want to encourage you to be intentional about it and think about how you can support your body and your hormones before you're on month 3 of trying to conceive and not conceived and then freaking out. It's really worth thinking beforehand, because ultimately, as females, if you are menstruating and in your childbearing years, you being in optimal health is you being in you having optimal fertility, whether or not you want to give birth, make babies. But a really healthy hormone at her peak energy, peak state, at her best performance, cognitive ability, best mental state, is also someone who has optimal fertility. So these things go hand in hand. And then obviously it's your choice if you want to make use of that fertility and make yourself some babies. So it's really, really important that this isn't just a, oh yeah, I'm going to have kids at some point, and then you start trying and then are like, oh, I've not really thought about any of this. I am a big proponent of planning for the things that we can plan for. There's so much in this life that we can't control. This is not a list, and this is not a podcast that's today that's saying, if you do these 10 things, I guarantee you'll get pregnant in the timing that you want. No, we can't always control that. But in a world where so many things are out of our control, I really like to plan and be intentional and mindful about the things that are within my choice remit, that are within my influence, and that are things that I am powerful over. And that's kind of essentially how I ended up being a holistic nutritionist, and what I do with my clients all the time is get them to become really aware of all the powerful but simple things that they can do to really optimize their health and therefore live the life that they want to live. Anyway, I digress. Okay, so a couple of things to bear in mind. Obviously, not all pregnancies are 100% planned. That's fine. Don't feel bad. Don't beat yourself up. It's a waste of time and utterly pointless. And if you are pregnant and you're like, oh, I wasn't planning on being pregnant, this is a surprise, here I am, there's still some of this stuff that you can do and think about. And don't give yourself a hard time about it. Just be happy that you made a baby. I mean, yay, well done you. And obviously, a lot of these things can work with any other kind of conventional fertility treatment that you might be doing. None of these things are necessarily either or. You know, if you're having IUI or IVF, then just disregard all holistic and complementary things. No, I really think a lot of this stuff can go hand in hand. Okay, so how have I prepared for this pregnancy? Obviously, when I was thinking, neither of my pregnancies have been a surprise. I have worked really hard with my hormones over the years. My hormones historically were all over the place, painful, heavy, would disappear for months on end. And then at one point I was having a period like every 17 days. So every 17 days I was on my period, and the period lasted for like 7 days. So I'm just a terrible, terrible cycle. I tried being on the pill, and then that just made me a bit crazy. Anyway, so my hormones have historically been a bit of a mess from teenage years, really. But I've spent a good amount of intention and been really mindful about supporting my hormones over the years. So I knew that for me, I could plan a pregnancy because essentially I'm super fertile now and my hormones have a lot of love. And also some of that is stuff that I have been intentional about, and some of that's kind of just the grace of maybe my genetics. You know, conceiving and things haven't been a massive issue in my family. Well, actually, my grandma had tons of issues making babies. Anyway, but that is where I'm at. So I plan both these pregnancies. I'm a bit of a planner. I'm not a spontaneous person, really. It's something I have to like intentionally do, is like make space for spontaneity. And so I have planned these ones in. Although this pregnancy wasn't planning on twins. So I'm now my second pregnancy is a twin pregnancy. So there is two humans inside me. Yes, two. I realized the other day I have got 3 brains, 3 hearts, 6 kidneys, 8 sets of limbs, all contained within my body, which really helps me when I'm beating myself up about being tired. I then remember, oh yeah, I'm looking after 3 brains right now. Whew, that's a lot. Think of all the nerve cells in my body. Whew, that's a lot. So then I just take myself for a nap. So anyway, how did I prepare for this pregnancy? And how can you prepare for a really healthy pregnancy or for optimal fertility? So I'm going to kind of split some of these things into just general stuff that's really helpful when looking to optimize for fertility and that preconception care. And then I'm going to share a couple of stuff that I specifically kind of was aware of with having a second child. So that might relate to you more if you're thinking about having a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth child, things you can do for. So first thing that I did before my first child, and I've done this time round, is made sure that my gut is as healthy as it can be. Is my gut perfect and the best example of the most optimal gut microbiome on the planet? No, it's not. I'm aware that there's still actually some work that needs to be done, but I did what I could. And I did some good gut work. I ran some tests. I added in some protocols to help me increase my bacterial diversity. I did a bit of a cleanse and a detox kind of protocol that I often outline with clients, because your gut microbiome, your internal bacterial, fungal, viral landscape within you is the exact blueprint you give to your child. And so it is one of the best gifts that you can give to your child, is to really make sure that your own gut health, because I mean, it benefits you for a million reasons, but also your child. That's kind of one of the first things that you are handing to them, is the blueprint that you've had. And if you've got a blueprint that's not that great, then it just sets your child up to be not that great. And we know there's things that can happen in childbirth and in a child's first few months of life or days of life that can just kind of, mean their gut microbiome struggles anyway, with antibiotics and C-section deliveries. All of these things don't set your child up very well at all for that really diverse, healthy kind of internal gut microbiome. So for me, really working on gut health is a really important preconception pillar, and for both babies. So I've done this both times around. Again, I know there's work still to be done on my gut. I know it's not the perfect blueprint to give to my kids, but at least I've done something. And the more that you look into the research about this, the more that it really matters, and it really has an impact. So that's the first thing. For me, I ran different stool tests, and this is what I do for clients: run stool tests, see what they say, create protocols to intervene with that. Might be getting rid of infection, it might be increasing the diversity of bacteria, it might be getting rid of a parasite, it might be optimizing your digestive secretions, it might be working on your immune function within your gut. So many different things. So that's number one in terms of your preconception care. Number two is creating a healthy default. And really what I mean by this is you want to have made a lifestyle shift or some lifestyle shifts before you get pregnant and before you have a newborn. And this is the case whether this is your first baby or second baby or third or fourth or fifth. It's much, much, much harder to deal with your sweet tooth and refined sugar addiction when you have a 12-week-year-old newborn who's not sleeping. That is not the time to start brand new lifestyle shifts. Ideally, before you've gotten pregnant, you want to have created and made some of these key lifestyle shifts that just become your default. So I talk about this a lot with clients, is creating a new normal for yourself or creating a new default. So for me, let's take an example of this pregnancy. Both pregnancies, I've been really sick. So I was basically bedridden in a dark room for essentially 3 months, moving to go to the toilet, to puke, to take my medication, to attempt to eat food, and then often puke it back up. So, but on days that I could eat, my default, even amidst all the sickness, was to more healthier things. Sure, it wasn't perfect. There was crisps and hobnobs in there, but my default had shifted. I wasn't craving like just Lucozade and tons of white bread. The thing that was easy for me to eat was something that was more on the healthier side. Not intentionally, not consciously, not because I was trying hard, because I couldn't. I was so sick, you just couldn't do it. But my default was something that was healthier. Or even now that I'm feeling better and I'm eating all my meals and I'm off my medication and I'm kind of, you know, riding that second trimester wave of not puking my guts out, I'm not trying really hard to eat healthy. I'm not like, okay, so you really need to manage your refined sugar intake and make sure that you're not eating too many refined carbohydrates or, oh, you've got so much caffeine. I don't think about that at all. I think about the foods that I fancy eating and I eat them because I've already got this new default where my body craves and wants more whole and real foods. It's not an effort for me. It's not a big thing. And yes, you can make those changes during pregnancy and when you have a newborn for sure. It's just much easier if you do it beforehand. So like with my son, when he was in that newborn phase, I actually ate pretty well. I wasn't relying on takeaways and tons of coffee and crisps and biscuits all the time. That wasn't intentional. I wasn't trying hard. I wasn't trying to be healthy. I was just eating the way that I eat. I was eating in a way that was normal, easy, and effortless for me. And because I'd done the work previously, that happens to be quite a healthy way of eating without me thinking about it, without me trying hard, without me needing to like suddenly start buying new things. It was just my default. So really working on creating lifestyle shifts is one of the most amazing things that you can do before you have a baby. Now, you're not going to be 100% perfect with this. There's always going to be things that you can work on, but some changes, especially you would say like sugar or caffeine or your food intolerances, for example, it's a great thing to tackle those way before you start to conceive for many reasons. So gut work, creating a new default of healthy habits or a new normal can be really helpful. Obviously, the third thing is you want to make sure that your hormones, check in with your sex hormones, your periods, and that your cycle is healthy and really optimize that. So if you notice that maybe your cycle is really long or really short or really heavy or really sporadic or really painful, then that's something that you want to kind of work on. I explained before that my menstrual cycle has historically not been great, not been regular, sore, heavy, random timings. And so making sure that I give myself a good, healthy cycle, especially something I did before my first son, just because my periods had been on my cycle was on the shorter end, meaning my luteal phase was really short and often, and that can sometimes mean if your luteal phase, meaning that kind of 7 to 14 day period before you start the bleeding part of your period, that being shortened can sometimes increase your risk of miscarriage and things. And I'm also aware of some of the genetic mutations I have mean that I have pretty low folate a lot of the time if I don't do anything about it. So I was aware that I really wanted to avoid any unnecessary miscarriages if I could. Obviously, I know those of you listening, many of you will have had miscarriages. I'm not saying that this is always the reason. There's loads of reasons for having miscarriage and there's loads of mystery to it as well. But in that, my philosophy is there's so much I can't control, but I couldn't impact and support my hormones, that I'm giving myself the best chance of avoiding miscarriage if I can. But obviously I can't avoid, we can't control the universe, but that was kind of my thinking with that. So ideally you want your cycle to be pretty healthy beforehand. And that means, you know, if you've been on the pill for years, ideally you want to come off the pill and have a good 3 to 6 months before you start trying to allow your period to normalize. And a lot of people are on the pill, not just for contraceptive reasons, but because their period and their cycle was so awful. You really want to kind of, because the pill isn't fixing anything with your hormones, it's just a plaster on the big gaping wound. So you really want to do a bit more support there. A, because you'll feel great and feel better, but also it can really help in the long run. And that's why I'm running my balanced and happy hormones program on my website. So do make sure that, I mean, if you're listening to this live, we'll be getting started on the 19th of October and it's a live program. So if you are listening to this as soon as it comes out, then do make sure you hop into that program. So those things are all really good general principles for that kind of preconception care. And the last thing I would look at as well is really your nutrient status as well. A couple of things before any baby, whether it's your first, second, third, or 10th baby, you really want to check in and make sure that your folate levels are good, that your vitamin D levels are doing well. I'd also make sure you are getting some sort of good oily fish, whether that be you're eating things like sardines and anchovies every single week, several times a week, or you're taking a really, really good quality fish oil. Please never take like a fish oil that you buy from the supermarket or even a rubbish fish oil that you buy from just like a pharmacy. Fish oil is easily rancid. It's often got a lot of heavy metals in. I'd rather you took no fish oil than a really cheap one. It's just really important. And that's why the easiest thing is to just eat fish. Like a tin of sardines costs you about 80p and it is amazing for you. It's one of the best preconception foods that you can eat and also a great food to eat during pregnancy as well and in that newborn phase. So really working, focusing on certain nutrients, B12, vitamin D, folate, your fats, EPA and DHEA, fats from, that would come from fish oil. There's tons of other stuff that you'd want to look into as well, like zinc, choline, loads of these kinds of things. And that's why often if you are having any unprotected sex, that's why some people would recommend always being on a prenatal just to make sure, because it's really important, especially with folate. You know, most doctors will tell you to take folic acid once you're pregnant. You actually need to be taking folate. Well, first of all, you want to be taking folate, not folic acid. Folic acid is a synthetic form of the nutrient that when you take in a supplement, you then need to convert to make it useful in your body, in your methylation cycle. And some people genetically, like me, and about anywhere between 20 to 50%, I think, of the population have a genetic mutation that means they can't do that, which is why folate is what I tend to recommend to all people. Folate has much better research behind it. It's a much, you're not needing to convert it before it becomes useful. And it's the only thing I would recommend to my clients. Most of your popular prenatals are full of cheap crap vitamins that are out primarily to make profit, not to optimize your health. So it's really, really important. If that's one thing you take away from this, is please don't take folic acid. Take folate. If your doctor has specifically prescribed you folic acid, have that conversation. Ask if they've done the research, because you might be one of those people that's been taking folic acid for years, trying to conceive for years, not conceiving because you're taking folic acid and your body can't use it. And you might be low in folate despite maybe being on high doses of folic acid. And I see that a lot with the women who were where we're working together around hormones and fertility and conception especially. Really, really important. That's a total bugbear that I have. It's just, and so many birth professionals like midwives kind of give out nutrition advice with like minimal to zero training on the matter. When I've had conversations with midwives being like, no, I'm not going to take your folic acid because you get given it for free here in Scotland as part of our healthcare system. I'm like, there's no point in giving it to me. I don't take it. I have a genetic mutation. I take folate. And they just are like, no, you need to take folic acid. I'm like, please don't give me nutrition advice. And it shocks me sometimes the advice that gets given and the supplements that get recommended, like Pregnacare in the UK. Terrible. It's better than nothing, but it's really cheap, poor quality, poor sources of vitamins. It makes me mad, basically. Anyway, so nutrients, vitamin D, folate, not folic acid, looking at fish oils and eating fish, B12 is really important. All of these nutrients are really important because things like folate and B12 basically play a role in your DNA synthesis and your DNA replication. It's probably a better way of saying it. And if you imagine you want to have optimal amounts of those things the moment you conceive, you starting on a prenatal 10 weeks, well, when you've been pregnant for 10 weeks, is not a pointless thing to do, but you actually really need those nutrients the moment you conceived, because that, those first like 2 or 3 weeks after conception is when your DNA replication is crazy rapid. It's going so, so quickly. So to then start taking folic acid like 3 months down the line is by no means harmful. But if you're wanting to optimize your chances of conceiving and maintaining a pregnancy, you want to be making sure you've addressed those nutrient status within your body before you conceive. Really important. So that's why things like folate, and with both pregnancies, I was taking a prenatal before I actually conceived and had tested and had looked at my folate levels because I have a tendency of being low due to my genetic mutation. So really, really important. And with this pregnancy, I was actually adding in extra folate just because I know I hadn't left a huge gap between both pregnancies. So really important nutrients. So, so important. So those are kind of good general preconception cares. Again, go and listen. I'll put a link to the show notes to my 5 pillars of preconception care because I go into those more. And now I'm just going to share with you a couple of things that I did specifically with this being my second pregnancy, but also again, these things play a role as well. So this is my second pregnancy, and generally a lot of what the research says, a lot of what experts say, a lot of what the literature says is that leaving a longer gap between children is more optimal. Having lots of kids quite close together can lead to not as optimal outcomes in the long run. Now, it's not by any means dangerous, but I see this in my friends. I see this in my clients. When I have clients that have just had boom, 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 babies really close together, by the time they get to their second pregnancy or third pregnancy, you see the burnout in them, essentially, from a nutrient perspective. They are just depleted. And I don't just mean energy wise, but that's often when they suddenly start getting issues or gut issues or sleep issues or thyroid issues or whatever it is, because it's really the recovery and the repair work from pregnancy and birth and postpartum is really important, but is highly underrated/ignored in the culture that we live in. So after having my son, I was really aware that actually primarily I needed to prioritize for a good year to 15 months, maybe longer, my recovery, my repair. Now, I mean repair like physically, just from birth injuries and, you know, things that can happen. But also I mean from a nutrient perspective, from a gut perspective, from a liver support, from a thyroid support, from a sleep, from a mental health aspect. I literally, my priority for after he was born, basically up until getting pregnant again, was recovering and repairing. Now, this looked like lots of different things for me. So it looked like checking in with my nutrient status, making sure my vitamin D, my folate was good, doing some gut work, doing a bit of support with my liver and some nice gentle detoxing, just because I had, you know, birth for a lot of people often means they're exposed to a lot more medications, either during the birth or after the birth, which is kind of just a lot for the body to do, and just really prioritizing that. And it was only when I had felt relatively well recovered for a good period of time, for a good couple of months, that I contemplated getting pregnant again. And so I was starting to feel good energy-wise probably a year after he was being born. That's when I started things like running again about 10 months postpartum, starting to feel really good. I was training for a half marathon. I was feeling fit. My pelvic floor injuries had kind of mostly resolved. My energy was good. I'd been doing a lot of work on my mental health and seeing a therapist, and so had moved through a lot of that stuff. And so that's why I felt ready to start trying again so soon. Generally, I would say you want to wait at least 18 months between kids. That's from what I've looked at. That looks like a clever time frame, but ideally 2 years. So if you give birth to your first child or second child, and then when they are 2 years old, then you think about conceiving again. Just because unless you're really intentional and on it and educated in it, it's probably going to take you a while to just naturally heal, repair, and recover. So that's something to really think about. And now, if you've had babies really close together, don't hear what I'm not saying. That's not something to feel bad or guilty about. But it is something to be mindful of if you are in that place of thinking and planning and preparing for another pregnancy. If things have been a surprise, then obviously you can just be happy that you're pregnant again, and that's fine. And there's lots of this stuff that you can do whilst you're pregnant, like taking a prenatal and managing your sleep and getting optimal vitamin D and all of these good things. So that's the first thing I really made sure before getting pregnant again, was that I felt recovered physically, from a nutrient perspective, from a mental health perspective, from a sleep perspective, especially, like, did I feel ready? Because making babies, housing babies, birthing babies, caring for babies is a really depleting process. It's, yep, we all know it's great and you love them and blah, blah, blah. We get that. But it is incredibly draining, and it's so much more work for your body and for your mind than we really give it credit for in our culture. So that's the first thing I did. The next thing I did was worked on my mental health a lot. So I've been having therapy after Merlin was born. It triggered off some, I suppose, mental health stuff for me, not around necessarily the birth, but about some stuff that happened many, many years ago. And so I had been doing some regular work on my brain and my mental health just to really help with that. And that was something that I knew, okay, this is something that I really need to do. And I needed to give that space after I had Merlin. Other ways that I was preparing for this second pregnancy, again, working on my nutrients, all of those kind of things. Again, looking at my periods. I got my period back probably about 9 months after my son was born, I think. And so I wanted to give my periods a good 6 months of just being healthy, checking that they were okay, checking that there was no issues there. And my periods came back fine, regular, no issues, no pain, just the boring standard periods, which is great. So those are all kind of things I checked in. I also looked at some lifestyle things, and this is probably more applicable to second pregnancies or third or fourth pregnancies. I really looked at, okay, what would our childcare options be, and how can I do less, essentially. I love Kate Northrup has a book that's just called Do Less. That's primarily targeted at entrepreneurs and female entrepreneurs, but I really worked on, since Merlin was born, in my work life and in general, and therapy really helped with this, of just doing less stuff. I work less hours, yet earn more money. I do less things. I'm on way less rotas. I do less volunteer work. I have less social commitments. I just do much, much less, and yet feel more content about that. Because historically, I would like to do lots of things, because if I did less, I wouldn't feel content and I'd feel anxious and I'd feel like that like horrible, like buzzing, can't sit still, can't be with myself vibe. Whereas with doing that work on my mental health and working with a therapist and someone who's trained, I really made sure that before getting pregnant with this, now that I know twins, that I needed to really make sure that I'm doing less, A, because the pregnancy is just hard and I know I get sick with pregnancy. So I was kind of planning in that I might be out for the count for a while with pregnancy sickness, but also my stress levels is, you know, as women, we tend to take on the load, the household load, the childcare load, the workload, the food load, the laundry load, the planning out our year load, the holiday load, sometimes the finance load. I just got rid of a bunch of that stuff. Like, I'm not a housewife. I don't do lots of things. And so what's that look like for me? And I don't say I'm not a housewife in a derogatory sense of the word. I don't mean that badly. I'm not very good at it. I'm not good at housekeeping things. I forget. Like, I leave laundry in, wet laundry in the thing for like 3 days and it goes disgusting. And then I wash it again and then I forget about it again. And it's not intentional. I'm just not good at it. I'm good at the food part. I'd be like the cook, you know, in Downton Abbey. I'd be like the cooks. That's what I'd be. I'd be rubbish all the other things. But it's really, really important that you kind of look at how can you do less. And this is a great principle for your first baby or for your fifth baby. How can you take more off your plate, off your brain, off your schedule, off your work, all of those things, so that you can really rest a bit more and be less stressed. Because I can tell you, cortisol and adrenaline pumping through your body does not set you up for fertility and pregnancy success. Doesn't set you up for any real success other than running away from a bear or fighting off a monster or running after your child as they're about to, you know, fall off a cliff. Like those are when those hormones can really, really benefit you in high amounts, but the rest of the time, they don't really. So those are a couple of things that I have done specifically before this second pregnancy. I've been intentionally wanting to wait a while. I was actually planning to wait till my son was 2 before conceiving, but I just felt I was ready and just went for it and get pregnant instantly. Sorry, just bash your microphone. I tend to, with both pregnancies, as soon as we'd stop using contraception, essentially, we get pregnant. The final thing, this is an important thing in terms of preparing for the second pregnancy, and this is probably more applicable for if you've had multiple children, is making sure you've had some recovery from your sleep. Now, I know some of you might be like, Kezia, that's impossible. I get it. But making sure you've paid off some of your sleep debt is really important. And this is part of why I wonder partly why the research shows that a longer gap between children leads to better outcomes for mom and baby, because there's been more opportunity to pay back the sleep debt. If you having baby, newborn, I've seen this with so many clients. It's sometimes clients have had literally 4 years straight of consistently broken sleep and being basically consistently in that newborn phase for years and years on end. And that has a huge, huge impact and takes a massive toll on your body. So wherever possible, now this might mean getting creative. This might mean hiring more help. This might mean sleeping in, doing naps, getting your partner to do more, putting your one-year-old on a bottle in the middle of the night or before bed or whatever it is. You need to make sure that if you think, okay, you've got a one-year-old and you're like, I'm going to have another baby, think about how much sleep debt are you in from your baby. Every baby is different. We didn't have that much sleep debt from our first child. Within about 12 weeks, we did some sleep training and he was a naturally good sleeper. Wasn't a big issue from then on. So by 18 months, I'd very much recovered from my sleep debt. I'd been sleeping throughout the night for over a year. So that wasn't an issue. But if you are at the point of thinking of another child, how much sleep debt are you in and how much can you pay it back before you get pregnant? Because sometimes people don't sleep that well in pregnancy either. So do whatever you can. Most of the time, I've spoken to people and clients about this, if they have a child who doesn't sleep well, they kind of just behave, act like the victim around it, if that makes sense. Meaning, you're like, well, Kezia, my child is a year old, but she still wakes up sometimes 3 times in the night. Yep, that's the facts. I get that. That's what's happening. But that doesn't mean you are entirely powerless around that. You can get creative and you can do problem solving with that. So that might be that you do shifts with your partner if possible. So he's on it with the child and getting up between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. and you put earplugs in, you might sleep in a different room between 9 p.m. and 2 a.m., for example, and then you're on shift. So you're at least getting a 5-hour chunk of uninterrupted sleep. It might be that you get more paid help. You can still get kind of night nurses and night nannies. It might be that you get your child goes for a night a week to a family member's, to a grandparent's house, and they sleep over there. It might be that you sleep in, your partner does all the morning routine, bed, breakfast, all of those kind of things so that you can sleep in till 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, even if you've had a broken night's sleep. You might get a babysitter in so that you can have naps. You might book in several weekends away in the next 3 months. You know, you are not powerless with this. Yes, your child might not sleep and you might have tried everything and I feel for you and that's really, really hard, but get creative and get problem solving and make sure you are prioritizing your well-being as much as your child's. And I know as a parent and a mum, you tend to prioritize your child's well-being before your own. And that's necessary for sure in those early days of a newborn. But if you've got an 18-month-year-old who's not sleeping and you've not slept properly and solidly for 18 months, you need to start prioritizing your well-being. I would say more so. More so sounds really harsh. But in a way, more so than your child. Like, you can't live off of poor sleep forever. It just has its consequences. It's just A plus B equals C. Poor sleep over a long period of time equals poorer health. It's not math, it's just science. So however that looks like, that can be small things, that can be big things, but really making sure you paid off some of your sleep debt, even if you've just paid off 10%. Spet just played, you know, to have taken a little bit out of that. You don't need to be perfect. None of these things are about you being perfect. They're just about you making progress and being aware and being mindful. Okay? So know that everything I say in these episodes is spoken with love. I just want you to know, have the information, be intentional with your choices. And these are some of the things that I talk to my clients about all the time and are some really important principles when it comes to your preconception care. And also if thinking about having another child, you know, some of the strategies and things to consider before you start making your multiples of children, in my case. Again, no one is going to be perfect at this. You're not going to have the perfect gut. You're not going to have the perfect sleep. You're not going to have the perfect nutrient status. But just being intentional and mindful about this and being powerful and taking ownership of how incredibly powerful your choices are and how much your daily choices can impact future generations is an amazing thing, and it's a privilege to get to be part of. This isn't about feeling bad or guilty or anything about that. It's just about you realizing you're like effing amazing, and you impact generations to come by the choices that you make today to look after your body, because your body is going to directly impact future babies that come from you. Okay? So sending you lots of love. I'm going to go and have another snack and probably a lie down now. Take my own advice. Sending you lots of love. Bye.